Welcome to the Shift Happens podcast, where we explore the latest trends and insights in the digital workplace. From the role of AI in the workplace to the future of remote work, we cover it all. Tune in as we chat with industry leaders and experts. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started in the digital landscape, we've got you covered. Subscribe to Shift Happens wherever you listen to podcasts and stay ahead of the curve.
Shift Happens podcast.
Can you believe it's been 20 years since the first version of Microsoft SharePoint was released? Today on the Shift Happens podcast, we're throwing a birthday party to celebrate. For the past two decades, SharePoint has been the solution for tens of millions of people to collaborate and work more efficiently. I'll discuss the key milestones of this journey with Jeff Teeper, Corporate Vice President at Microsoft, who's also known as the father of SharePoint. Jeff and I will talk about what makes SharePoint special and how it has served many new users during the pandemic. There's no RSVP or gifts required. Just bring yourself to join me in wishing SharePoint a big happy birthday.
Shift Happens Podcast. Shift Happens Podcast.
Welcome to Shift Happens Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Raymond Tsai, AvePoint Chief Brand Officer, Microsoft Regional Director, and MVP. I'm so excited today to be joined by the one and only father of SharePoint, Mr. Jeff Teeper. Jeff serves as Corporate Vice President at Microsoft, and not only is he responsible for SharePoint, he looks after Microsoft 365 collaboration technologies like Microsoft Teams and OneDrive as well. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Ducks, great to be here and great to see you again.
I cannot tell you, every time I talk to you, I just get so excited, not only with all the innovations that's coming out of Microsoft and SharePoint, but I keep talking to you about running. you're one of the first people I actually talked about running a few years ago.
Well, I'm glad we've got you hooked and part of, as you know, we've had SP runners for a long time. It was part of every conference to go for a run, even if it was like 100 degrees out in Las Vegas or Orlando. So hopefully I'll see you at an event soon and we can go for a run.
Absolutely. Wasn't it, there was an event, it's a, one of the SharePoint conference that somebody got married, right? With the SP runners.
Yes.
Yeah. Did I recall correctly? Yeah.
Yeah. They got married. They got their picture with Steve Ballmer. It was great.
Well, Jeff, again, thank you. Thank you for inspiration, not only on the running, but also on the professional side, on the personal side. And I want to send a big and belated happy birthday to SharePoint. SharePoint is 20 years old. How does it feel like to get to this milestone?
Well, thank you. As you know, Dux, you've been involved and AvePoint's been involved for quite a long time. I'm not sure how TJ and AvePoint found us in the first year, but AvePoint did, and so it's been great. You all have been a huge part of the SharePoint community, sponsoring SharePoint Saturdays and the Red Party and conferences and Ignite and so forth. So it feels great, and we can. I'd love to chat about it. It's I love to look back, but probably like to spend as much time looking forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as we talk about it, how did you celebrate? Like, was there any special restaurant you went to? I'm just curious. Or did you get back with the band?
No. It's very sad that it happened in a period where we really can't see each other. Because I know that we would have had both a team event and SharePoint Saturdays or Microsoft 365 Saturdays we would have participated in. So we did do, you can see it on the blog that he published. We did do in the team a giant Teams meeting with Together Mode, where we talked about the history. We sang Happy Birthday in Together Mode, which was sort of a train wreck. I got to do a few other fun things. You know, one thing, I went back and listened to the keynotes for all the SharePoint conferences just to give myself a grade, like, how did we really do in delivering that stuff? And where could we learn on how we presented things and so forth? But the two things that were kind of the most fun was we did I had recorded myself playing six instruments, playing the Beatles' Birthday to drop that. Because
I saw that.
you can't see it with this where we are in my den now, but usually I do events with that camera behind me that takes a picture of the wall. And every now and then people say, do you actually play those guitars? And so I was thinking, how should I break those guitars out? Oh yeah, let me play birthday. And let me do it with six windows. So that was fun. And then a number of our MVPs hosted an event in virtual reality in Altspace VR. My avatar gave a fun keynote on the five eras of SharePoint. Hundreds of people showed up in virtual reality. It was the most people I've ever been with in a VR space ever. So it was fun.
And looking through this, right, why do you think SharePoint has endured through the last 20 years? Certainly there's a lot of attempts from competitors. So for example, players like Google or even small organizations like Huddle, they at some point it was neck to neck, but the longevity, I think, is nowhere near SharePoint. What do you hear from customers or even the community about the longevity of SharePoint?
Yeah, I think it's three things. One is we've kept true to our vision, and you might have heard that on Cashman's podcast. The original pitch for SharePoint that I gave to Bill Gates has three circles in it, just like the SharePoint logo has in 2021. That we were bringing together collaboration, content, and portals in a single product. Nobody else really has done that since. And that holistic vision of content management was unique, but durable. You know, some of the things, it's remarkable. Like I've groveled through my old decks from EBCs and, you know, 20, you know, even some from pre-release, like from the year 2000. You know, 2003, 2006, I sort of, it peaked every 3 years. Like, what did we say? What stayed the same? What was different? And this idea that you want a flexible content management platform that empowers your employees and connects to other apps is super durable. The second thing is we weren't afraid to adapt. You know, hopefully everybody's read The Innovator's Dilemma. You don't stick around in tech in 20 years unless you're willing to change and deal with some very disruptive changes in tech and business model and customers' expectations. And some of these changes were really hard. You know, the most controversial thing, but one of the ones that's sort of memorable and a fun story is we stopped investing in InfoPath in part because we needed every experienced developer we could to build the cloud service fabric for SharePoint and Office 365. And that was brutal. Like people walked around one of the SharePoint conferences with a casket, you know, and I couldn't get up on stage and say, hey, you know, we're making these really hard trade-offs to move hundreds of people to the cloud. Cause people at that point would have said, what are you crazy? You know, why are you going to the cloud? That's not for big companies. That's not going to happen. And so we were willing to lead our customers, not just listen to feedback. You got to get the balance right and do this reinvention. As Teams has come along, you know, look, it's clear that people aren't going to dwell in a browser staring at their websites. That's not what people are going to do. Files and websites are more useful than ever. But where people are going to dwell is in communication tools. We saw that with Outlook. We see that now with Teams. And so having access to that content from SharePoint in Teams is really important. And so what you've seen us do with, if you've watched very closely, old-timey SharePoint people about what we've done with Microsoft Lists, what we've done with Viva, we've made the good old SharePoint web experience better and better, the best it's ever been by a lot. But we've componentized SharePoint as well, so you can get access to lists and files and pages inside Teams where people are spending hours a day. And so I think, you know, and we get feedback like, wow, there's a lot of choices. Should I go to the web? Should I go to Teams? Should I go to OneDrive? And it's, look, you know, when you're building products for a billion people, you have to go where groups of hundreds of millions of people are. And some are going to stay in the browser. Some are going to go to Teams and some are going to want a simple OneDrive app. And so I feel like we've done a good job. We didn't call everyone correct about embracing change. We even did, and we're still doing, SharePoint Spaces, where we said, could we bring what we did for website creation into 3D scene creation? So sometimes I've been kind of ahead, but I feel, you know, if you look at what we did, SharePoint Conference 2014, we introduced the Office Graph with the Delve app. We learned a lot from the Delve app. Delve isn't our most used application by any stretch of the imagination, but it birthed the Office Graph based on machine learning that's now powering all sorts of experiences. So I feel like we, whether it was cloud, machine learning, the new programming model, when we did the Future SharePoint event, people said, oh my God, the SharePoint framework, not another programming model, Jeff. Oh my God. Well, it's been 5 years. We haven't changed it. We're not going to change it again in the foreseeable future. So you know, our flexibility, adaptability, to willingness to learn from the rest of the industry, I think is pretty key, even if, I apologize, it's been challenging at times. And then the third and most important is community. We have always embraced the feedback, the evangelism, the passion, the hopes, the dreams, the frustration of our community. And, you know, it's just wonderful. And I don't think there's many products that have the community we've built. And, you know, the community has evolved and expanded. SharePoint is still an essential building block for content management. But, you know, Power Apps and Teams are, you know, probably neck and neck, if not, you know, sort of, you know, more front and center for certain people. And you know, there's no or there for me. It's like Teams plus SharePoint plus Power Apps. And so, and the communities come with us. So it's been, it's just great. Those are the, I would say, the three big things that I'd focus on is consistent vision, willing to evolve with the times that would have disrupted and driven other companies out of business, and embracing the community every single day.
Boy, I mean, you summed it really well. I just want to piggyback on those two last points. When you talk about the evolution and innovation, right? You talk about the innovator's dilemma, that book. There's a part in there that Clay Christensen talked about. Disruptive technology enables new markets to emerge. And that's exactly what SharePoint has done through, like you said, things like Graph. I think about Viva Topics. The other day, I did a webinar with Chris McNulty, and he was talking about Viva Topics. As he was showing all this, I go, you know, a lot of this came from SharePoint.
Yeah. Well, you work on these things and you learn. You know, one of my favorite ones to tell you, you probably remember this, is My Sites in OneDrive.
Yes.
So we, I think it was the 2007 release.
2007, My Sites came out 2000, I remember.
Where I, you know, John Kaufman, who was the GPM, and I, you know, we're sitting around on the whiteboard figuring out how we told the story. And we had this beautiful scalable Teams SharePoint slide that we'd sort of stolen from the Windows team, because, you know, Windows ran on small devices, PCs, and, you know, servers, Windows NT. And so I remember this sort of continuity slide. And so I thought, okay, it's a great way to tell the story. Everybody gets a personal site, you know, social networks were starting to emerge. Every team gets a team site, and those things get rolled up to portals, and they all run SharePoint. So you can govern them the same way, you can build apps the same way. And it seemed like brilliant, like we were geniuses. Nobody else had this. And My Sites was kind of a disaster. Every customer we talked to said, I don't want this siloing information in people's desktop. Turn it off. How do I turn it off? And we had this huge backlash to My Sites. But then our friends in SkyDrive internally were seeing some adoption in consumer. There were things like Dropbox coming along. And we sort of had to triangulate, well, wait a minute. On the one hand, people are telling us they don't want this personal place where they get pages and lists and files. On the other hand, personal storage seems to have never been stronger. So from the experience we had with My Sites, we created OneDrive for Business. And we had some hiccups with it. But now it's, you know, the most used feature of SharePoint. All the features of SharePoint, connections to Teams, Comp Sites, Power Apps are all doing great. Everything's doubled year over year and so forth. But boy, you know, most of the content that comes in is actually from OneDrive. And so there's a feature where everybody wanted to turn it off at first. And now it's kind of the most popular thing powered by SharePoint, because we took out features and we gave it a new name.
You know, similarly, I can think of another one. I think it was SharePoint 2010 or maybe 2007. It's My Task.
Yeah.
Where it rolled up all the tasks, not only in SharePoint, but also Outlook. I love that feature. Even if it actually even brought in project server tasks as well.
Yeah. Call.
And then it disappeared. And now Teams introduced tasks. I go, wait, it's the same idea.
Yeah, I was involved. Well, I was involved in all that. So you can blame me for all the parts you don't like. You know, tasks never quite became the thing you, it was like brushing your teeth, the thing that everybody should do that people really didn't always do. And part, it was part the user experience wasn't simple enough, and part, just people just found it easier to do things on sticky notes. And so, you know, we built Planner and To-Do. We bought To-Do, which I use. Like, I run my life on.
I love it.
I have a simple short list called work and one called home. And, you know, I run my life off it. And we took, I and a few other people, the Planner team, the To-Do team, Emma Williams, who runs the industry solutions team. So we, you know, we built the task feature in Teams that integrates with To-Do and, you know, added tasks to comments and Office Docs. So I love that stuff. I think it's one of the more underutilized area in the product.
And now what's exciting is with the infusion of AI, I think that part of, like you said, right, we need to brush our teeth. Not everybody does. I think it'll just get better. We'll start getting electric toothbrush, hopefully, and a lot of automation happening.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then one story I'd love to share about the community, and I agree with you. It's, I feel like, I mean, I may sound biased, it's the most robust and really passionate community I see in tech. There was one time I did a SharePoint Saturday in Sri Lanka. It went well. And then the next day, me and Michael Noel, we want to do sightseeing. So we did a tour. We hired, one of those tour buses, and it broke down middle of nowhere because we were going to look at elephants. So Sri Lanka, elephants, big deal. And then I just sent a tweet. I said, yeah, stuck in the middle of nowhere, trying to find a shop that will fix the car. And then somebody responded in Sri Lanka, like we're in the countryside. Oh, that's really close to my house. Let me come and get you guys. I was just SharePoint Saturday yesterday. Ah. It was awesome. I mean, sure, the power of social, but then you talk about the power of community.
No, that is great. That is, that's what a wonderful story. And we hear stories like that all the time. In fact, those are the ones that around the world were really inspiring. When we brought the SharePoint conference back in 2018, I went and listened to that one. And one of the things that I got reminded that I did at the beginning is on Twitter, I was tweeting with Amos Wachanga, who is an MVP and community leader in Africa, who was late at night and was hosting an event in Nairobi for people to tune in together and have a party while watching the SharePoint conference. And where else but this place?
Well, let's switch gears and talk about what's going on today. So certainly SharePoint is an important foundation for Microsoft 365. How has the platform truly changed the way business work, especially in the last year, based on what you're hearing from customers and feedback that you're getting with this tremendous growth of the platform?
Yeah, I think a lot of these things feed on each other. First is COVID has caused almost all businesses to go all in the cloud. The companies that were partway in have gone all in. The companies that weren't there just had to, like, just starting with the most fundamental thing. Some companies are still running on-premises meeting solutions, but realistically, almost every organization has picked a tool like Teams or its competitors, and so you're in. All your critical conversations are hosted in the cloud, and you see that it works and the benefits of getting features up to date all the time. And that pulled through a lot of other things. Second is, the tools in Microsoft 365 have really matured. Teams has played a key role, but Office and SharePoint, OneDrive, come a long way. We sort of step by step for the last 5-6 years, the features like known folder move, people are just without thinking backing up their PCs to OneDrive in the cloud. Office documents, we have co-auth and app mentions and notifications on Office against SharePoint on all devices. Whether it was the deployment or the adoption, it did take years. Like, as you know, like there's one phase, which is like, are we going to migrate to the cloud? How hard is that? The second phase is how are you going to educate users to work differently? storing documents in team spaces, using links as opposed to attachments and so forth. You know, all those things sort of fed on each other and got accelerated by COVID. You know, and I think another part of it for SharePoint was, you know, we went through this classic to modern UX phase where when we first, you know, our goal was to sort of rekindle the magic of the original version of SharePoint, which is it looks great out of the box. But what looked great out of the box in 2003, 2007, obviously didn't look great in 2016. So we had to take a fresh crack at a modern experience. And, you know, the team, Denise Tribona, Adam Harmitz, and a bunch of other folks really, really raised the game on the UX to the point where a lot of people said, hey, I'm going to stop writing my own custom websites. I'm just going to go with this SharePoint thing. And so we...
SharePoint looking like SharePoint.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People don't say that anymore. And we did the lookbook. And so all those things from, say, 2016 to 2018, you know, OneDrive just working, Office Doc Collab on all your devices, gorgeous SharePoint sites, the rise of Teams as a hub. They were all like building this foundation of modern work in the cloud, you know, the adoption and, you know, change management work you and others have talked about so much. And then the applications that get built around it that, you know, we saw the SharePoint framework breakthrough, we saw Power Apps breakthrough, you know. In 2016, there was a little bit of, oh, yet another tool story from those guys. By 2018-19, people said, wow, you're really all in on Power Apps for low-code development, and you're really all in on the SharePoint framework for JavaScript developers. You've had continuity. Those tools have matured. I'm going to go start building some business apps on them. And then we've made a set of announcements that I think, you know, another thing that's sort of related to this that, again, I know you guys deal with a lot at AvePoint is the depth of security and compliance capabilities, not only from us, but from our partners like AvePoint, really matured. So a lot of the most sensitive data or organizations with the highest sensitivity needs, financial institutions, governments, et cetera. You know, it's no secret why you spend a lot of time in Washington, D.C. It's not just because you like the place to live. There are some big customers there with demanding requirements. So I think all those things fed on each other. COVID hit and it became a catalyst to the next level of growth. And it also told us that, you know, you needed to go back to basics, caring about people, that just focusing on tools and content and collaboration wasn't enough. You had to care about people. And so Jared Spataro and our marketing team said, you know, we really need a new brand for that. We need to build on SharePoint. We need to build on Teams, but we need an identity that speaks to that problem. And they came up with Viva. And, you know, when they first pitched the idea to us, on the one hand, it was like, wow, this feels so in the moment. This is top of mind for all these companies, their employee well-being, growth, development, knowledge, et cetera. And then there's another, like the little voice in my head, which is like, oh my gosh, who's going to be the first MVP to say yet another SKU change from Microsoft? And you know, you sort of, you weigh these things because there's some truth to both sides. And you say, you know what? There's enough product truth here that there's a real unique story to tell. And we want to say, like, SharePoint's the content management platform. It's the most flexible content management platform in the industry and innovating faster than ever. Teams is the hub for teamwork. It integrates SharePoint and so much more. And then built on top of that is Viva, these new higher value employee experience apps. And you sort of do the three layer cake thing and it does make sense. So I, like any change like this, it can be overwhelming at first because people haven't necessarily digested the pace of change in tech. And here we go again. But on the other hand, I think if people, you know, when people get the time to look at our strategy with SharePoint Teams and Viva, they say, wow, you know, nobody else in tech, nobody else is doing that.
So it sounds like you mentioned something. So when you talked about how Jared and the team came up with this need around employee experience platform, that's in the midst of COVID, correct?
Yeah, we had four applications under development. Of course, we had the workplace analytics in market. As you know, we had a new e-learning app under development. We had SharePoint home sites under development. Although in June or July of last year, I said, we're going to bet that on an app built by the SharePoint team hosted in Teams, and we're going to integrate Yammer and Stream content and not just make it a SharePoint silo. And then we had Project Cortex, which begat SharePoint Syntex and Viva Topics. So we took these four projects, and it was serendipitous that employee engagement, knowledge, learning, and well-being, those four needs mapped to these four projects under development. And we were actually going to launch Project Cortex sooner. And Seth and Jared said, it's the first time in my career, I haven't been the one who's been late. Usually it's the engineering team that says, oh, I'm sorry, we didn't make the date. Sorry, it's our fault. This was the first time I can remember where marketing said, no, we're not, you can't launch. And I said, but we're done. Like, we're done. We want to ship. And they said, no, I'm sorry. We have a bigger story. And so, of course, it totally made sense. And we actually held the product for the Viva launch. And, you know, I remember in January of this year, getting a lot of crap about when are you shipping Viva Topics Project Cortex knowledge or topics or whatever it was called under the code name. It was Project Cortex. Like, oh, you promised this to us at Ignite. It's not here yet. We've been waiting months. Jeff, there you go again. You're missing your dates. And we knew that we would have, you know, the election was in January. So January is going to be a bad time to launch a product. So we knew that we had this date in February. And I just, every few weeks in Twitter, I said, be patient, it'll make sense. And so I think Jared and Seth and team did a great job. They had a lot of support from Satya, because Satya had been hearing, you know, there were sort of two arcs in the COVID period that he was hearing from the CEOs. One was like, how can my company even function remote? And it was clear Teams was the answer to that. And the second thing was, oh, my God, what about my employees' engagement, well-being, and so forth? What are you doing? Microsoft, can you help me with that? So Satya's discussions with CEOs became integral to taking what might have otherwise been a few features into a top-level message.
Hello, Shift Happens podcast listeners. I have an exciting offer for you. Join us for our in-person Shift Happens conference, October 10 to 11 in Washington, D.C. Registration is free. That's right, it's free. And you walk away with actionable strategies from industry leaders and peers to make Shift happen in your digital workplace. Visit shifthappens.to to register today. We'll see you there.
Wow, that's just an amazing story, considering all this transpired pretty much in the last 10 months or so. So looking ahead, as the world is going back to this new hybrid workplace, or the next normal, as they would say, what do you think the biggest demands and trends you expect to see that will be needed for organizations to function, and where technology will play, such as Microsoft 365?
Yeah. Every day we talk about this with customers, a lot of uncertainty and anxiety from customers, because everybody knew how they worked before, and we were forced to work all remote in most industries for the last year. And now we're going to go to more of a hybrid model, in part because of safety coming in at different times around the world, but also in part because people have realized there's a set of things that are just more efficient about working remotely. And so we're going to see companies experiment all over the map. There'll be some company, it's interesting, some of our tech brethren are both ends of the spectrum. Some of them are saying, get back to the office, everybody all the time. And others are saying, anybody can work from anywhere. And Microsoft's a little bit in between, where we said, you know, there's going to be a bunch of roles that are very distributed and have been always. But if you're an engineer working on a team building product, we'd love to see you in the office in a major development center, say half the time. And so anyway, companies are going to be all over the map there. And so it's on us to give guidance, not just tools, for how they attempt to work. And actually, I just coincidentally published on Twitter today a slide I've been using for with customers to sort of facilitate a conversation. I wrote six things. It's not the perfect six, and we'll revise it, but it's basically figuring out how companies and teams are going to work. So take a look at your meeting cadence. What's your rhythm of business? How many is weekly stand-ups, daily meetings, no meeting Fridays, et cetera? Do you have too many overlapping meetings that need to be rationalized? You really need to not have the tragedy of commons on meetings. You have to be surgical and publish your meetings cadence. The second thing is, like, you don't want to be in the meetings all day long. So get stuff that can be done outside the meeting on people's own times, especially for teams in different time zones. So co-op plans in office, triage issues and lists and planner, have discussions in channels, you know, get a bunch of stuff outside the meetings and then have better meetings. And there's a bunch of points to doing that, some of which are culture, some of which are using our tools, you know, have polls, you know, ask, you know, don't have people read slides for 59 minutes and have 1 minute of discussion. That's a terrible meeting. You know, have connections to those workflows that exist outside the meeting. But some of it is also devices that I think, you know, we're seeing already a surge in adoption of Teams meeting room devices in conference rooms because people are realizing those conference rooms aren't going to be all in person again or ever. There are going to be hybrid meetings that you need to be inclusive of everybody. You want to see their face. They want to see your face. You know, we've sort of all gotten to realize chatting in meetings isn't necessarily a distraction. It's a way to send each other feedback and social cues that we like or don't like the plans. So, you know, anyway, I think, you know, we'll continue to advance the tools in Viva and Teams and SharePoint and more for work, for engagement, for content processes. But I think a lot of what's going to, the dialogue in the next 3, 6, 12 months is going to be the new normal. And the new normal is going to probably be pretty different for each person in each company. You know, some companies are going to say, oh my God, I'm thrilled to go back to, you know, shared spaces and brainstormers. And other companies are going to say, we're blowing it up. We're getting rid of all our real estate. We're rolling the dice. And, you know, it's going to be a big lab on the planet of how people work and educate. And it's going to be fun to be a part of it. And I think that, you know, the thing I'd say is we have to give guidance, but we also have to be humble that the next few years are going to be a learning period for us as well.
No, you're exactly right, Jeff. I mean, even if I look back the last 20 years, I have friends who I've known for a while. They're like, don't you get tired of what you've been doing? I mean, you're in the same space. You talk about SharePoint all day long. I go, no, this is, in my mind, a pivotal moment. In the last 20 years, we've never experienced anything like this, where it's a perfect storm of the cloud, technology, the human aspect. And I'm grateful that we have this opportunity to be a part of it, and in some cases to shape it, but more importantly, to help and support organizations throughout their journey in this shift.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's going to be fun. And I feel like it's SharePoint V1 all over again with Viva Connections. That's the other thing. We're talking to all these companies about revamping their intranets and employee engagements and extensions to them. And like, some of them are longtime SharePoint customers. Some of them are new to Microsoft 365. You get the benefit of doing what you love, which is helping companies communicate to their employees. But with all the hopefully wisdom and experience you've gained from successes, failures, mistakes, et cetera. So I think, you know, I couldn't be more excited about the work we're doing with Viva Teams and SharePoint.
Well, awesome. Well, Jeff, I can talk to you for another 3 hours, but I'm very grateful for the time you've shared with us and shared with our audience. And again, I'm sure people can reach out to you and connect with you on Twitter and LinkedIn. If you haven't, make sure you all follow Jeff. Other than that, thank you so much, Jeff. And looking forward for bigger and better things for SharePoint, the overall platform in the next 20 years.
Thank you so much, Dux, for all your support and inspiring people. So many of our events would not have been the same without you and the energy you brought to it. And I think, you know, more than anybody else in the community, you've embodied this duality of hey, there's serious work to do here, but we can also have fun together and lighten up and let's have fun. And that makes the hard work easier to do when we've got to get back to it. So thank you so much
thank you.
All you brought to the communities as well.
And also stay healthy, right? Keep running all day long.
Yep.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Shift Happens Podcast.
Thanks for listening and for joining the party today. A lot can happen in 20 years, and the incredible progression of SharePoint during that time is no exception. I'm so glad I was able to talk with Jeff to mark this wonderful milestone. Of course, SharePoint technology has evolved over time, and so have the many ways we use it, from its integration in Microsoft 365 to the development of the new Viva platform. And recent disruptions to the modern workplace due to COVID-19 will make SharePoint an even more essential tool for content management in the years to come. These benefits, as millions of SharePoint users can tell you, are something worth celebrating. So SharePoint, happy 20th birthday. If you like what you hear, please leave a review for the Shift Happens podcast on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you use to listen.
Shift Happens Podcast is a production of AvPoint Inc., produced and edited by the AvPoint brand team. Stay up to date on the latest trends in digital workplace transformation by visiting avpoint.com.